Well, good morning. Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here, whether in these pews or online, whether today or throughout the week. Thanks to all who have braved the weather to come be with us today. And if you are at home snuggling in your pajamas and a cup of coffee with the fire, know that the warmth of your presence is also appreciated from wherever you may be. I have no particular announcements today, except for just highlighting that Easter lilies are now available for purchase, and you can find more information on that up on the screen. Orders are due on Sunday, April 6th, so get those orders in. We are looking forward to beautifying our space for the season. So any other announcements this morning? Okay, seeing none, let us share the peace of Christ with one another. Good morning, peace be with you.
Good morning, my dear.
Good morning, peace be with you. Good morning, peace be with you. Peace be with you. You're back in the land of the living.
It was 50-50, but I decided to
come. I'm so glad, so glad. Good morning.
2 weeks.
Good morning, how are you? Good. Good morning, Dan, peace be with you.
Please stand for the call to worship, if you're able. Creator God, you are a stream of living water. We are trees planted nearby, rooted in your deep flowing love. We drink from blessing. We grow in your grace. By the gentle presence of Christ with us, we avoid the ways selfishness and cynicism, even when they are all around us. We fill ourselves with your word, and we delight in your ways. Rooted in your creation, we flourish in your love. All of our evil perishes in your grace. It becomes like dry leaves, blown away in the wind of your spirit. In closeness with you, we bear the fruit of love for the healing of the world. Flow in us, God of life, and once again, transform us by your grace. Alleluia. Please join me in the opening prayer. Jesus, friend of those oppressed by systems of harm, guide us on the path of your radical and wonderful solidarity. Connect us to the well of strength within ourselves to do what needs to be done today, honoring rest and play as part of the work. Build strong bonds between us that we may depend on one another for safety and support. Invite us towards personal and communal healing so our care for each other may be deeply rooted and long-lasting. Amen. The opening hymn is number 48, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
Thank you.
Do I have some children to come up and join me today? Gosh, we've got Trey and Torin. Taylor's here today. Liam's here today. Oh my gosh, Miles is here today. Come on. All right. Welcome. How you doing? You guys doing all right? Doing good? Good to see you. Wow, this is awesome. Okay. Well, today we got a great big word to talk about.
Yeah.
Do you ever hear of the word Beatitudes? Beatitudes? No? No? You know what? That's a big word for me, too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I looked it up because I was like, what are Beatitudes? And basically, it's a fancy term for blessings. Now, have you heard the word blessings before? Yeah, I see some nods. We've heard of blessings. All right. Well, one time, there's a story in Sunday school where Jesus goes halfway up a mountain. The crowd is so big that he goes partway up this mountain to talk to people so that people could see and hear him. Make sense? Right? And when Jesus was on the mountainside, he told the crowd about these eight Beatitudes. There was a whole bunch of Beatitudes. And I think I'm just going to pick one. Does that sound all right? You don't want me talking here all day, do you? No. So, remember now, Beatitude is another term for blessings. And Jesus talked all about these blessings. And Matthew 5:3 states that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Okay, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So we're going to break that down a little bit. Jesus wasn't talking about poor as in no money. No. He meant that we should be humble. Oh, geez, there's another word. Do you know what humble means? There's all these big words. You know what humble means?
It means, like, don't brag and stuff.
Exactly. You are good. It means don't brag, he said. Exactly. You hit the nail right on the head with that definition. Yes. So I was looking for ways in the Bible that showed humbleness, and I saw a really good one. Can you see the picture on the screen over there? That's Jesus, and he's washing his disciples' feet. Yeah. You ever wash your mom and dad's feet?
Yeah.
No? Yeah. Well, and you have to remember, they kind of lived in a desert area, and they always wore sandals, so their feet were all dusty and all dirty all the time, right? And Jesus, king, Jesus was like people that was honored. He's a king. And here he is, down on his hands and knees, washing his disciples' feet. That's a way to show humbleness. Jesus was showing his disciples how to be humble. It means putting others first and not bragging. And then we're no better than anyone else. So going back to the Bible verse where blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, it's like saying, blessed are those who are humble, for they will go to heaven. So that's the way that we broke it down. All right. Pastor Jacob, would you lead us in prayer this morning, please?
Absolutely. I'm going to say a short phrase, and I invite you to repeat it back to me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For teaching us.
For teaching us.
How to be humble.
How to be humble.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For reminding us.
For reminding us.
To show love.
To show love.
Wherever we go.
Wherever we go.
So that one day.
So that one day.
We may go to heaven.
We may go to heaven.
Help us.
Help us.
Continue to share your love.
Continue to share your love.
In everything we say.
In everything we say.
And in everything we do.
And in everything we do.
Amen.
Amen. All right, Sunday school.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Our Old Testament scripture today is from Psalm 1. The truly happy person doesn't follow wicked advice, doesn't stand on the road of sinners, and doesn't sit with the disrespectful. Instead of doing those things, these persons love the Lord's instruction, and they recite God's instruction day and night. They are like a tree replanted by streams of water, which bears fruit at just the right time, and whose leaves don't fade. Whatever they do succeeds. That's not true for the wicked. They are like dust that the wind blows away, and that's why the wicked will have no standing in the court of justice, neither will sinners in the assembly of the righteous. The Lord is intimately acquainted with the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked is destroyed. And our New Testament lesson is from Luke 6, verses 17 through 26. Jesus came down from the mountain with them and stood on a large area of level ground. A great company of his disciples and a huge crowd of people from all around Judea and Jerusalem and the area around Tyre and Sidon joined him there. They came to hear him and to be healed from their diseases, and those bothered by unclean spirits were healed. The whole crowd wanted to touch him because power was going out from him and he was healing everyone. Jesus raised his eyes to his disciples and said, "Happy are you who are poor, because God's kingdom is yours. Happy are you who hunger now, because you will be satisfied. Happy are you who weep now, because you will laugh. Happy are you when people hate you, reject you, insult you, and condemn your name as evil because of the human one. Rejoice when that happens. Leap for joy because you have a great reward in heaven. Their ancestors did the same things to the prophets. But how terrible for you who are rich because you have already received your comfort. How terrible for you who have plenty now because you will be hungry. How terrible for you who laugh now because you will mourn and weep. How terrible for you when all speak well of you. Their ancestors did the same things to the false prophets." Here end the readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jane. We have a media song today, and it is from my buddy Richard Brooksfort Colligan. This is Pay Attention.
When the machine of empire is chewing you up, and you can see its lying face, when the monster has plans for taking you down, and you're trying to get away, trying to get away. Who needs protection? Who's yelling in outrage? Who's being crushed by greed? Pay attention. Who knows rejection? Who's whispering for justice? Who's stunned with dismay when they understand the legislation? When the venom of hate has infected the laws, and the beast has shoved you to the side, when the system gapes and roars with violence, and you're running for your life, running for your life. Who needs protection? Who's yelling in outrage? Who's being crushed by greed? Pay attention, who knows rejection? Who's whispering for justice? Oh, who's stunned with dismay when they understand the legislation? Oh, who's being lied to? Who smells the stink of empire? Who's not a priority? Check the prophecies. Oh, who needs protection from evil on paper? And who's getting numb to what streams in on the screens?
Let us pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts in this hour be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this is another one of those weeks where the biblical text commands me to say some things that are kind of risky. If any of this gospel text sounds familiar, that's because it is. This is one of two versions of the Beatitudes that are kept for us in the biblical text, and some people call it the Sermon on the Mount. The more complete version of the Beatitudes is from what Becky read, was alluding to, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, but today we're talking from the Gospel of Luke. In this text, Jesus talks about an absolutely countercultural way of understanding that the first are last and the last are first. I'll talk about that in a minute, but today I want to talk about a way that that is playing out here in our community, here in Waupun. So earlier this week, I was made aware of a local pastor who plans to appeal to the board of the Waupun Public Library that all books pertaining to LGBTQ people should essentially be removed. He wrote a 3-page letter to the board, which he titles, "A Statement to the Library Board to Seek the Good of the Community by Obeying God." I have a full copy of the letter, which I'm happy to send to you. I won't read any part of the letter verbatim except for one small quote, but I want to give you a little summary of what he's talking about. So in short, this pastor is calling into question the library's policies about the inclusion of LGBTQ plus literature and its display of such literature during a recent LGBTQ Pride Month exhibit. He asserts that by encouraging people to read such literature, that library staff is encouraging these children to sin, and that he wants to protect the children of Waupun from harm by asking that this policy be reevaluated. He says all this with a number of Bible verses footnoted and taken out of context below his letter. One of the most striking things I read in this letter is that he believes that love should be his motivation by which he is doing these things. At the same time, he says that God defines the word love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 6, where it says, "Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth." He also says personally that of the word love, that we cannot, quote, "make it mean whatever we want," unquote. So the last thing I typically want to do is to make a public stance on town politics from the pulpit. or speak ill about another pastor. But for me, this is one of those moments where our community life and our religious faith intersect. And as your pastor, I feel like I have the responsibility to share when I believe Christianity is being misused to hurt people. I've been really troubled by these characterizations, as have many people in our church who have heard about it. And a couple of folks from our congregation are actually going to speak in opposition to this ban at the library meeting on Wednesday at 4:30. So if you find yourself interested in being part of community advocacy, Wednesday at 4:30 is that opportunity. I've gotten multiple questions about my stance on the issue this week. And specifically, I've been asked what kinds of Bible verses we might use to refute his claims. Now, each person has 3 minutes when the floor opens. And in the short time that we'll have at the meeting, unfortunately, it's really hard to unpack everything that he's saying and also say what we believe. And so there's not necessarily enough time to use our own particular verses without doing the same thing, without taking them out of context. But even though we're not necessarily able to do that, hopefully the spirit of today's message can give us some clarity. But before I say anything else, I know that we're a diverse congregation. We don't always believe the same things, and that's okay. But I want to make one point crystal clear. I myself am in staunch opposition to such a ban, and I will personally do everything I can do in my power to ensure that this is a safe place for LGBTQ+ people and all vulnerable people for as long as I am your pastor. As you might imagine, I've been reaching out to colleagues to talk about how I might lead the congregation through this situation. I was reminded that there is power in the office of pastor. And sometimes pastors use that power as a mechanism to exclude people, when in fact, Jesus was remembered and ridiculed for the ways that he used his ministry to include people. When I think about Jesus, I think about a man who led with fierce love, who was always on the side of the oppressed and the marginalized. Nowhere is this more evident than either of the two versions of Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. When you look at today's gospel text, Jesus says that there are blessings for you if you are hungry, if you are poor, and if you're grieving. Indeed, many of the people who would feel the most liberated by the message of Jesus would fit into those categories and others like it. I've shared with you in multiple sermons that the Roman Empire was constructed so that those who were rich had the vast majority of the resources, and those like you and those like me were just struggling to get by and relegated to the margins. But Jesus aims to turn that whole paradigm upside down. Jesus begins his public ministry, as you might remember from a couple weeks ago in Luke chapter 4, by saying these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Weeks like this lead me to question, who are the oppressed people in this situation that we find ourselves in here in Waupun? Who are the oppressed people, the LGBTQ plus people in this town, or the Christians? And I don't think it's the Christians. In my estimation, I would sooner identify LGBTQ plus people and other vulnerable populations with this verse from today's text. Happy are you when people hate you, reject you, insult you, and condemn your name as evil because of Jesus. Because of one man's interpretation of Scripture, the library, a public resource that is available freely to all people of this community, regardless of religious affiliation, may soon be censored in favor of one person's particular religious perspective. If this change to the policy prevails, it's a slippery slope. By that logic, anybody can call the library's policies in question if a particular book or category of books conflicts with their own personal belief system. We may as well get rid of all world religion books. We may as well get rid of all books by black authors. We may as well get rid of all books that talk about disabled people, or equity, or inclusion, or diversity of any kind. But here's the point that I want to drive home today. The way of Jesus demands that entire groups of people are not rejected by society and admonishes their attackers for bearing false witness to his ways of love and liberation. And in our media song for today, Richard Brooks Fort Colligan reminds us that we always need to pay attention to the people and situations that need our care. In many ways, Jesus is asking us to do the same. He reminds us that those who are poor and oppressed and marginalized are closest to the realm of God, and those who oppress them are not doing God's will. We already know this at this church. We are so good in so many ways at caring for people who are oppressed and welcoming those who are unwelcome in other places. We're good at this. We know what it means to do this work. And this is what I think God is calling us, this church, to do in these times. There are so many ways that we can provide a beacon of hope when other people might feel that their stories and their experiences are relegated to the margins. So as we go into this week, I invite you to think about how Jesus' blessings have applied to you. There have been so many times in our lives, probably, where we have felt poor or poor in spirit, or discriminated against because of something we could not control, or marginalized, or oppressed, or hungry, or grieving. There are so many times where Jesus' blessings that are talked about in these texts have applied to us. And so I would invite all of us this week to consider how we can continue to pay attention when others are stuck in difficult positions in society, when others are marginalized and oppressed. May we continue to always remember that our call is to love those who are in need and to continue to advocate for love and justice. This world is a difficult place. And this world needs our light now more than ever. So let's roll up our sleeves and get to work. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our next hymn is hymn number 551, As a Fire is Meant for Burning.
As a fire is meant
Amen. You may be seated. Now we come into a time of more intentional prayer, thinking of the people and situations that need our prayers and our love today. But first, let's take a time of silence. Amen. So I have an update for you on my mom. My mom and dad went to Frederick Hospital in Milwaukee this week to talk with the surgeon, and were given some good news. Their cancer doctor that they had been working with had told them a week or so ago that. The doctor said, well, we've got good news and we've got bad news. The bad news is that the chemo is not making the tumor any smaller. It's not getting any bigger, but it's not getting any smaller. And so we think that you should just go ahead and talk to the surgeon, because you're doing so well with treatment and everything that maybe the surgeon will want to just cut it out. And in fact, when they went to Frederick, the surgeon agreed that it's time to just get that thing out of there. So in 4 to 6 weeks, my mom will have surgery to remove the tumor that is on her liver, not in her liver, but on her liver. And then next steps will be sort of determined after that, but that was the best possible outcome that they could have hoped for from that appointment. So with gratitude for my mom's medical team, and for all of those who are caring for her in this time. God, in your mercy. What other prayers do we bring today?
My sister-in-law, Mary Smith, had a mini stroke.
Okay.
And when she went to the hospital,
they discovered that she had an aortic aneurysm.
Okay.
So she's going to have surgery.
Okay. And this is your sister-in-law, Minnie Smith?
Mary.
Mary. Okay. For Mary, God in your mercy.
About a week and a half ago, my sister Rachel was diagnosed with breast cancer.
Oh my gosh. For Rachel, God in your mercy. Anything else today? I am really grateful to see Rick Van Hoff back here after his surgery. It sounds like you're doing well, and there's a lot to hope for, and he is raring to go back to his normal life of being here, there, and everywhere. So for Rick, as he continues to recover, God in your mercy. And for Lori, as she patiently cares for him, even as sometimes his isolation may make him a little grumpy.
Sometimes less enthusiastic than others.
Yes, indeed. Anything else today? Anything on Zoom? Okay. Then let us be in a time of prayer. God, in your grace and love, you gather us here from wherever we may be to remind us of what it means to be in community, what it means to pay attention to the needs of others, those who are oppressed, those who are marginalized, those who are grieving. You remind us of the importance of paying attention to those who need our care after they've been diagnosed with cancer, after they've been diagnosed with an aortic aneurysm, after they have surgery scheduled or are recovering from surgery. We ask you to be with all of them in the way that only you can, and also to empower us to be with them in the ways that we can. We ask that you continue to empower us to be beacons of hope to those who are experiencing homelessness and food insecurity and poverty and discrimination in all of its forms, who are crushed by greed, who smell the stink of empire. We ask you to remind us of how your blessings have been with us as we share the blessings that you have given us with others. We ask all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who showed us the way from the very beginning and taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC Waupun, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. As the ushers come around, you may place your offering in the plate, or if you're joining us online, You may give online at ucc-waupun.net, but however you give, may you do so generously for the work of the church, both in this local context and wider. Generous God, you have planted generosity in our hearts. Receive our gifts as part of your redemptive work to save the world from inequities, pain, and despair. May our resources be renewed and magnified so that all needs are met and that your name be praised. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 457, Lord, I Want to Be a Christian. My friends, receive these words of benediction. Remember, friends, that you are blessed, that Jesus blesses you in times when you are grieving, when you are hungry, when you are poor, when you are marginalized, when you are oppressed. And remember that Jesus calls us to do the same. Jesus calls us to pay attention and speak out and do what is ours to do, so that God's love may extend to everybody, and that hate and discrimination may be no more. So remember, as you go into the week to pay attention, because your love and your light is sorely needed in this weary world. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.